The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So I wanted to, before we get into talk, to open it to you for any reflections on your practice or questions about meditative technique or integrating the teachings in your life, practicing with something that's arising. Yeah. Thanks.
Hi. Just a question about anxiety.
And yeah.
When that comes up, how do you handle it?
Yeah.
I just wanted to jump out of my skin. It's just too much residue from today.
From today, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, thanks. So it was, that's not the standard experience. It was more pointed anxiety this evening.
It's not the standard, but the more I get into my practice, the more it's coming up.
The more it's coming up.
Yeah.
And how long have you been practicing?
Oh, not long. I mean, let's say very on and off for 8 years, but most recently it's been just a few weeks.
Few weeks, yeah. Yeah. And how did the anxiety manifest this evening during the sit?
Just lots of thoughts about the day,
yeah,
and things left undone, or
yeah,
questions about things left undone.
Yeah.
And then physically, just these very, like this buzzing sensation in my legs, like I need to run.
Yeah. The big topic.
Uh-huh.
You can be grateful that you weren't sleepy. That's, you got that going for you.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are probably trying to stay awake and would have loved just a little bit of restlessness, a little bit of anxiety.
Mm.
You know, it's just coming to sit after a full day, it's like the insight, like, oh, not just like, oh, it was an intense day, but it's intense being human,
mm-hmm,
you know, like it's just intense. And we don't make enough of that fact, you know,
mm-hmm,
and part of what we're doing in our meditative practice, part of what we're doing in Buddhist practice is to like bow to that fact, like it's a big deal,
mm-hmm,
being human. And we are, you know, resilient but very sensitive creatures. And so a full day is going to be we're flooded with stimulation that is a lot of times more than we can fully digest in that moment. And so what's left over, the residue, comes up the moment we stop, naturally. And one of the long-term trajectories of practice is actually we're able to digest the meal of our life more efficiently. And so as experience arises, it may still be impactful in the same way. It may still be intensely pleasant or unpleasant, but there's a process of digesting, or it comes through the body, mind, in a more efficient way. And a lot of that has to do with the increasing kind of flexibility and softness of our self and self-identity. Because if you look, like, what are the sort of, you know, top five anxieties that arise at the end of the day? A lot of them we're doing like this, like checking, kind of like patting ourselves down, except what we're really patting down is the self. We're like, am I okay, you know? Like if you fall or something and you're like checking for injuries or something, you're just like, you know that moment where you're just like, And we're basically doing that, but we're like checking the integrity of the self. And something that, you know, an evolution in practice is that there's just less solidity in that self for things to be kind of crashing into during the day. And so we, it feels like there's less to do at the end of the day. Now, none of what I'm saying answers the question of, like, what do you do now? So, just a few words on that. The breath or sound or any other object that you pick is going to pale in comparison to the interest level we have in the anxiety. You know, it's just, it is will. And so often it can just be helpful, just like, we're not going to focus on the breathing, you know. And so you're very explicit, like, okay, now the experience of anxiety is the focus. And sometimes it can be good to give your mind just a few minutes of just like, I'm just going to let it unspool a bit. I'm not going to really start formal practice in a way. I'm just going to relax and let it unfurl. And it's like this tightly wound cord that like starts to unfurl. And just let it be there, you know. You sort of have every thought that feels really important. And then maybe after a few minutes, there's a kind of like, okay, I've thought everything that I need to think right now. And that doesn't mean it's going to stop, but it means that you can start in earnest to pay a different kind of attention to that. And, you know, the reason the way it feels in my mind and body, like the reason why we compulsively think is that we're actually trying to digest that experience. And thinking has been the only way we've ever done it. And so we have some intensity, we have something left over, we have something that feels unfinished from the day, we have stress from the day, and we're just like, the way that we drain the charge of that is just to think the hell out of it, you know. But there's another, and that kind of works. You know, like it kind of works a little bit, but there are some bad side effects of it. And sometimes it actually exacerbates the anxiety. And so the suggestion is like there's another way of digesting intensity, which is not pleasant. But it's like you just let it rattle around the body. And it's just going to like bang against the walls like it's a cage. And it just like, bam, you clank, clank, clank. And the seduction will be like, okay, you hear that clank, and it's like, okay, there is a problem here, and I need to think it through. But we can actually just get better, especially after we know we've had all the important thoughts. We'll be able to deal with it, whatever. We've had the important thoughts. Now there's just like the momentum, leftover inertia of the anxiety. And we're just going to let it rattle in its cage. And that means open to its experience, the experience in the body. And to the extent that we're aware, practice some of what I was talking about at the beginning of the sit, namely, like, don't come to conclusions about anything. Like, anxiety is desperately trying to make decisions and come to conclusions, and we can actually just practice like surrendering the value of the thinking mind for a little bit and it will feel like being buffeted by strong winds. That's the feeling. And that's okay. They won't break anything inside of us. The wind is just strong. It's just strong. So you could do all that, or you could just do a little walking meditation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whatever you choose. Yeah, yeah. That's good. I appreciate you engaging with it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure. Please.
I wanted to ask about confusion. Mm-hmm. While I was doing the meditation, especially with the not know, there's like a desire to know, and that kind of sometimes leads me to like being confused.
Yeah.
And it kind of like creates this curtain where I can't really, like, it blocks me from like seeing clearly, and sometimes it enables me to like be mobile and like, I just want to give up, I'm going nowhere. And I doze off, and then I feel like, oh, I have, like, I'm not going anywhere. This is like I'm not improving anything. I'm more just confused. So if you could talk about confusion, that'd be great.
Confusion, yeah. So maybe let me ask a little more. So the sense of confusion in part is about what am I doing? Is this useful? Like, am I making progress? That's some of the way the confusion manifests.
Yeah, I guess it reflects like the state of my life too, because I feel like I'm not really settled down.
Yeah.
So maybe that comes into my meditation as well. So I just feel like I should be like
having some kind of clearer sense of mind while I'm meditating.
Yeah.
But then I feel more confused. I feel more like, oh, I'm grasping at straws or something like that.
Yeah.
So I feel like, oh, I'm not improving. I'm not making any positive steps.
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
Yeah. And how long have you been practicing?
I haven't really been practicing like regularly. Yeah. I feel like that's my fault again. So maybe that's it. But yeah. I feel like whenever I do it, I just feel like, oh, I'm still not there. Like, you know, like not.
Yeah. There's a lot of value in having equanimity with confusion. And so what I mean by that is that there's value in being able to, for the heart to tolerate uncertainty and confusion. And when we do that, when we actually have some equanimity with the confusion, it's like the awareness is not confused. There's confusion happening for sure. But insofar as we can have some equanimity with it, meaning not fight for answers, not fight for progress, not fight for conclusions, to the extent that we can do that, that's good practice. It's good practice. And a lot of times the kind of answers that we come up with that sort of bubble, when we're in that state of confusion, it's like the mind does not have its ground and it scrambles for whatever answers we can find. And the answers are usually, they're just not very rich. The answers that bubble out of that confusion and agitation and lack of equanimity, our mind is less trustworthy in those times. And so there's some real value in not actually needing to know. And And I do have the kind of confidence that if we can actually stay present to confusion, things will open up. It's subtle, and you know, we teachers kind of talk out of both sides of our mouth sometimes, like. It's okay to not be solving any problems during your meditation, right? You know how the mind just compulsively is identifying and solving problems, is trying to make sense of things and check off the list of problems, and confusion sort of blocks us from that process of like solving problems, making progress. It's okay. Instead, we can actually just leverage the awareness in a way, but be patient with the not knowing. And that's useful practice for sure. You don't want to rush into an answer out of agitation. And the question of like, am I progressing? Am I doing this right? Those kinds of questions. You know, we can evaluate ourselves and our practice after every single breath, right? You know that sense of like, okay, all right, I just took a breath, breathing in, breathing out. How am I doing? Do I feel concentrated? Do I feel clear? Am I enlightened? You know? And we'll do that after literally every breath. And that we just have to, you know, we just have to learn to trust a little more. And, you know, it's fine to look at our practice, but it's, you know, it's maybe every month, every 6 months, not every breath. One more, if there's anybody. Okay.